CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. A Middle East NATO, an idea bandied about, perhaps because the NATO meeting in Madrid most recently was successful, but perhaps because the Middle East is moving towards a new architecture, as is all of Eurasia, driven by the energy questions in Europe, driven by Ukrainian fighting, driven by questions to be answered about the contest between Iran and its neighbors in the Gulf Cooperation Council and the civil war in Yemen. I could go on, but a NATO may answer some of these questions. I welcome Hilal Kashat, professor of political science at the American University in Beirut, writing for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site, about what is right and what can go wrong with a Middle East NATO. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining. I tell the story of Yalta, February 1945, what came to be the last day of the conference between FDR, representing the American forces in Europe, Winston Churchill, representing the empire in Europe, fighting the Hitlerites, and Joseph Stalin, representing the Russian army, closing on Berlin from the east. The debate was the fate of Poland. Stalin understood that the near abroad, like Ukraine, had to be once again folded under his wing to provide security. Therefore, whatever promises he made about Poland were not reliable. FDR was asked to stay an extra day, but no, he could not. He was flying off to meet the king of King Saud, and the discussion was about oil for the recovery of Europe, oil for the fleets that were going to provide security. I think of that moment when I read your story about another president departing for a Middle East embassy, heading to Riyadh to talk to the descendants of King Saud, the Saudi Arabian kingdom, and the conversation today about security for the Gulf Cooperation Council. First of all, you delve into the history, which is rich here. What is the history of the Gulf states or the Arab states involved in the Gulf from Egypt to Pakistan, all of those states, the Islamic states? What is the history of them working together? Good evening to you, Professor.
Thank you for hosting me, and good afternoon. Well, good morning. It's still morning on the East Coast. Well, there is no history of cooperation in this region extending from Morocco all the way to Pakistan. Actually, lack of cooperation is the norm, and cooperation is an aberration and doesn't last for a long time. You know, and this goes for all the alliances that were tried in the past, beginning with the Baghdad Pact in 1955 that collapsed right after the coup in Baghdad in 1958 that ended the monarchy and ushered in a Republican order. So the idea of cooperation is out of the question. The Arabs tried it, actually, in 1948 in the first war against the newly rising state of Israel, but the Arabs failed to cooperate. Then they tried again in the early 1960s to divert the tributaries of the Jordan River, but they failed to cooperate. So lack of cooperation is a way of life in my region.
Middle East Strategic Alliance is the conversation that took place in a meeting in 2022 at Sharm el-Sheikh, the Egyptian resort where the world leaders come together. And as Secretary of State Blinken was present, did the United States advance this idea with the history in mind, that it hadn't worked before, but that there was a fresh wind given the energy needs of everyone following the invasion of Ukraine? Is that given a spark to a new conversation?
Yes. And of course, you know, the U.S. foreign policy tends to be pragmatic. And the idea of a Middle Eastern alliance tailored along NATO's came up in 2017 when former President Trump visited Saudi Arabia and he held an Arab-Islamic conference in Riyadh that amounted to nothing. What happened since then is that more Arab countries established diplomatic ties with Israel. Back then in 2017, only Egypt and Jordan had ties with Israel. Now the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan have signed peace treaties. And Saudi Arabia would love to sign a peace treaty with Israel, except that King Salman is still opposed to it, pending the resolution to the Palestine question, which doesn't seem to be forthcoming or on the agenda of President Biden's visit to the region that will start tomorrow. So now there is a new dynamic, of course, in the region. And in his latest press conference, in his latest interview that he gave yesterday to the Washington Post, President Biden stated that the situation in the Middle East now, 1.5 years after he became president, is much better than what he inherited. So yes, there is a new dynamic that has been accelerated, I would say, by Russia's in a war on Ukraine, and also by the U.S. Expectation that the Gulf countries would boost their oil production. And here, this is another hurdle, you know, boosting their production, because contrary to what many people may think, Saudi Arabia and the UAE do not have spare production capacity.
In your article for Geopolitical Futures, you list two, possibly three reasons why NATO is not the NATO concept is not ready for the Gulf, let alone the Middle East. One is fear of Iran. Two is the trust that the various kingdoms, especially Saudi Arabia, does not have in the army. They do not trust the army. And the three are that they've grown accustomed to external guarantors of peace. Are all those in place, or is that conversation underway right now for to solve one or all of those troubles?
Well, you cannot undo culture and history. If lack of trust and lack of military cooperation, these are historical facts that a visit by Biden is unlikely to resolve them. And I think in due time, the Biden administration will readjust its perception of a regional alliance, because most Arab countries are not interested in confronting Iran. I don't even think that there is a single Arab country that wants to confront Iran. Egypt does not see itself as in danger. Egypt does not see Iran as a danger. It is far removed from the theater in the in West Asia. And Jordan, you know, the Jordanian king called for establishing the alliance because he fears that the consequences of Russia's evacuation of Syria's southwest allowed Iran and its proxies to take over the area and threaten Jordan's security. But again, Jordan does not want to put itself in a confrontation with Iran. So here, this is the problem. They want, okay, let me put it in a sentence or so. The Gulf states, namely Saudi Arabia and the UAE, want somebody to defend them against the Iranian threat. They don't want to play an active role in their self-defense because they don't trust their armed forces.
And what we have then throughout the region is a hesitation that's been in place for decades, if I read you correctly. There has been no significant advance of trust between the various areas. Is that Iran driving this, Professor? We have about a minute. Is Iran's threat overriding best ambitions?
Well, Iran certainly has ambitions. Iran views itself as an important regional power that needs to be predominant in the region. And the Arabs understand that. So the Saudis and the Emiratis understand that. And they fear Iran, and they don't trust Iranian intentions. The Iranians always talk about a good neighborhood policy, but the Gulf countries do not trust Iran because they know that history stands in the way between them and Iran. And Iran, despite everything, seems determined on achieving its regional predominance.
And the trust level, you introduced the fact that the last three U.S. presidents have been critical of Saudi Arabia. Is Saudi Arabia ready to trust the U.S. as guarantee of security?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think the Saudis trust the Russians more than they trust the Americans, because the Russians speak their language and they don't bring up human rights issues when they communicate with the Saudis. And right after the assassination of Jamal Khashoggi, and when Mohammed bin Salman attended the Big 20 conference, he was isolated by all leaders except Putin, who came and shook hands with him and gave him five.
Hilal Khashan, professor of political science at the American University of Beirut, writing for Geopolitical Futures. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,